Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, RV, boat, whatever it may be, they will make sure you're fully insured, do everything they can to save you money. And the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament is coming up on Wednesday, August 9th, Susquehanna Valley Country Club, to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. We now welcome back Matt Cotrillo, who, by the way, will now launch into a series of rants.
Well, first, it is good to be back with you, Steve, after a long week off. Thanks to Cam for filling in for me last week. I always appreciate his help when I'm ready to take a vacay, so that was good. But, as you know, there are some things that when I see are stupid, I can't ignore stupid. And I still can't ignore the stupidity of this Big Ten football schedule for 2024 and 2025. I mean, the amounts of stupid in this is really outrageous. So, first of all, with Penn State only being the only team in the Big Ten without a protected opponent in the new scheduling format, hello, has anyone not seen what branding and big names mean to college football with all this realignment and TV media deals? And Penn State, one of your top brands, doesn't have a protected game? I mean, what are we doing here? No, well, Penn State, Ohio State in 2025? What are we doing here?
I don't think Penn State requested a protected game. You have to request one. I don't think they requested one.
Well, that's interesting then. I don't know. I just like some of the protected matchups that I saw, I counted four that, to me, pass the who cares test.
Yeah, but those were requested by both sides.
I mean, all right, if they were requested, it's one thing.
I mean, in other words, you know, like Iowa, you're allowed to request up to three. Okay. So, since and the only one that requested three was Iowa. I think they requested Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Nebraska.
Correct.
Okay, that's fine. That's, you know, and everybody said, hey, that's cool, let's do it. That's fine. You know, Ohio State has won. They ended up with Michigan. So what you expect. Indiana ended up with Purdue. I have no problem. You know what? It does get to the point where I don't care who they played. I just take it week by week. Whomever they play, they got to win. And the whole, you know, whatever schedule's put in front of them, they got to win as many games as they can to get to the college football playoff. That's pretty much how I look at it. I don't really worry too much about that. But you know, in order to get a protected game, you have to request a protected game.
Okay, well, that's interesting then. Well, and then when it comes to Penn State's schedule itself for 2024 and 25, I mean, it's pretty unbalanced. 24 obviously is going to be phenomenal. You got Ohio State and Michigan and USC.
I don't think they have Michigan in 24, do they? I thought Michigan was on the 25 schedule.
Or Michigan State, I'm sorry. Yeah. Michigan's on the 2025 schedule. But in terms of the home games in 2025, the only one that screams out loud is UCLA, at least in my opinion. So, I mean, 24 is going to be phenomenal next year of a home schedule, but 2025, not so much. So I'll just be curious how that plays out. I'm not saying it's going to that they're not going to sell out these games. That's just not going to happen. But what I am saying is there's just less prestige in the home schedule next year, or in 2025, other than the UCLA game. Then, of course, there's the no division thing, and I've already expressed my distaste in that.
Well, I'm going to be interested to see how long no divisions goes. Only because, you know, everybody's all gung-ho about 1 through 16, and they may be right. They may be absolutely right. But as I posed the question to a couple of my colleagues in the conference, I said, let me ask you something. Is finishing 6th or 7th good? And each time I brought it up to various people, people that I like and respect very much, they gave me that curious, like, well, geez, I never really thought of it that way. And that's an issue. Because it's not like college basketball. College basketball, if you finish 6th or 7th in the Big Ten, you're going to the tournament. It's a 68-team tournament. The Big Ten normally gets around 8 in every year. With the additions of UCLA and USC, they could get as many as 10 out of 16 into the tournament. So it doesn't matter as much as if you finish 6th or 7th of the Big Ten. You still have a pathway to get to the NCAAs. Finishing 6th or 7th in Big Ten football gets you a nice bowl game, but doesn't get you the college football playoff.
Right.
And that's the big difference right there with divisions, as opposed to going 1 through 16. Because now you're going to go from finishing, is 7th last, or is 8th last? Is 8th last with a 16? Yeah, right? But, boy, 16 looks bad. it looks bad. 12th, it looks bad. It just doesn't have the same feel as that. Like, we finished 5th of the division, we finished 12th. Oh, that is something that, let's see over the next 3 or 4 years how that plays out. Now, for Penn State, this is what I'm going to be curious about. We only have the 24 and 25 schedules, right? And if you look at it, there are 3 opponents that will stay the same in 24 and 25. They just rotate in a home and away fashion. Remember what you're supposed to do with this. You are supposed to have a rotating situation where everybody will play in everybody else's stadium. Over the 4-year period. Now that part I really like. So my question is going to be, for Penn State, let me just make sure I've got this straight here as to who's on. Do Rutgers, USC, and Michigan State, I'm interested to see if there's on the 26 and 27 schedules. Because those 3 are on both schedules in 24 and 25. But will they stay on the schedule in 26 and 27, and then you change up the 3 starting in 28, 29, 30, and 31? Because you're trying to get everybody on there. Well, you can get everybody on there if you have the same 3, and you can get everybody on there no matter what, but if you have the same 3, it's easier to get a better rotation of games, 6 and then 6, by having 3 steady ones over a 4-year period. And then with Penn State's situation, you change up who the 3 are. I'm interested to see if those 3 end up on the 26 and 27 schedules. Thing. I just kind of You play who you play. I'm not, you know, I'm not going to get too wrapped up in what they have. You, on the other hand, get very wrapped up.
Well, now that I've understood the process a little bit more, I kind of see it, but it's just going to be, I don't know. Penn State, Ohio State's just such a moneymaker that it's just shocking that it's not on the schedule for 2025.
Well, they wanted to have Penn State, USC on there. Hey, that's when you have the four major brands, you've got to figure out a way where you're playing two of the three. Each one of them is playing two of the three somewhere in there, okay? So Penn State will play all three over a two-year span. They will play USC and Ohio State in 24. They will play USC and Michigan in 25. And I haven't looked at the Michigan and Ohio State schedules, but I'm pretty sure they probably have a lot of the same because they need to have the major brands playing each other. I think having you now playing all three, that becomes now you're creating a problem when somebody has to play all three in the same year. And I haven't looked at everybody else's schedule. I haven't really thought too much about that. So, didn't even look at what everybody else had. I saw some big chart. I go, oh, that's nice. I was also in Scranton when I got it, too. I was like, okay. I looked at my phone and went, oh, okay, great. I know you're surprised I didn't pour through it and overanalyze it.
Oh, my almighty!
I know you wanted me to. Well, what's your next one?
Well, then my other one was the PGA Live merger from announced last week. I just think the whole thing is just a hypocritical move on the PGA's part, plain and simple.
Well, you know what? But what have I said the entire time?
No, I know everybody wants to see the stars, and you're still going to get that. But I still think this is now becoming political because now you got the U.S. government getting involved, which we all you know is.
For goodness sakes. You know,
I know, yeah.
What, Blumenthal, here's my suggestion to Blumenthal. Why don't you put together a package that lowers taxes? Now, actually, okay, I mean, I don't really care about versus the PGA, okay?
But I mean, what I'm saying is the human rights issue is always going to come up.
Why don't you do your job, okay?
Yeah. No, I'm with you there, 100%.
stop stepping on areas that you have no business being in.
No, I'm with you there. But overall, my point is that the human rights issue is always going to be there, and it's just I just don't think golf is really going to be the same anymore, too. And then you look at...
Well, then if he wants to look into human rights issues, look into the issue between China, the Uyghurs, and the NBA. I mean, what's the difference? I mean, you know, human rights issues? Okay, no offense, they're all over the place. People are going after money.
Yeah. And that's the other side of it, is you have all the PGA players that, you know, sought their allegiance with the PGA and not live, and now they've missed out on all those big paydays.
Now, that part I have, you know, I mean, I look at Rory McIlroy. That guy threw his name and reputation out there and integrity every single week.
I can't imagine what he was like when he heard that.
He probably looked around and said, really? Really? Okay. But I go back to, this is why I thought they were going to have to merge at some point. And here's the reason why. Back at the beginning of this, just to let you know, we've stayed consistent on it. I pointed out that one of the great splits of all time was CART and Indy Racing League, IRL. The Andretti's did not race at Indianapolis for 12 years. I mean, prime racing years, Mario, prime racing years for Michael. They didn't race for 12 years in Indianapolis. Right? They let this go on for 12 years. And the fans don't care about this stuff. The Indy racing circuit was almost wrecked by this. And now it's just barely, I mean, it's got the Indianapolis 500. Nobody cares about the race in Detroit. I mean, Pocono doesn't even have them anymore. And Pocono was always a great stop on the circuit all the time. And, I mean, they almost destroyed that series. They almost destroyed the sport. I'm talking about the IndyCar part of the sport. They almost destroyed it with this split. And history can be the greatest teacher. And they had to figure out a way to solve it. Now, whether they solved it the right way, I don't know. That I don't know. I cannot tell you whether they solved it the right way or not. I haven't read enough about it to know. But the fans only want to see the best against the best. NBA fans finally got to see Julius Erving play. Now, it turned out he got dealt to the Sixers, but he was going to be in the league anyway, whether it was with the Nets or the Sixers. David Thompson finally got a chance to play in the NBA. Artis Gilmore. Fans finally got to see some guys that they've been hearing about and didn't know much about. I mean, here's one for you. NHL fans finally got to see Wayne Gretzky. Gretzky started his career in the WHA. He did not start his career in the NHL. And they also got one more year at Gordie Howe when they came back. When the USFL dissolved, NFL fans got to see Reggie White, got to see Jim Kelly, got to see Steve Young, got to see Herschel Walker. I mean, fans just want to see the best against the best. They don't want involved in the politics of it. Okay? Fans are not involved in the politics of it. They just want to go out and be entertained and see the best play the best. This at least gives you the opportunity of it. Now, we'll see how it plays out this week, because this is the week that they are all coming back together again. It's the U.S. Open week in Los Angeles. So all the LIV players will be there, and everybody will be talking about the merger, and we're going to get a wide range of thoughts, especially tomorrow, because Tuesday's a big press conference day after practice rounds. We're going to get a lot of thoughts as to what they think about all this. And one of the problems is that when you have a split like this, you end up trying to pass off players who are good, but not the caliber of the guys that you lost or don't have. You try to pass them off as being really, really good, and like the fans can see through it. They're like, oh, okay, that's great. I know we're down. You know, these guys are really good players, but like you're going to tell me I can't watch Bryson DeChambeau, but I got to watch Corey Connors, and Corey Connors is very good, by the way, but he doesn't have the same cachet as Bryson DeChambeau, right? You know, I mean, that's the hard part about it. I mean, that's what the fans want, right? Just, you know. Now, what the details of it are, I don't know. You know, federal government wants to get involved, fine. There are a lot of really important things out there. Who's playing on what golf tour? Which golf tour really isn't in the top 10? That's just me. All right, we'll come back. More next half hour. You out of rants, or?
Those are about like the two really things that ate away at me while I was at the beach last week. So I've gotten those off my chest.
You want to know what ate at me last week?
I'm going to say nothing.
On News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Want to work for a stable yet growing company? Got it. Want to work for a family-owned business with over 100 years' experience in taking care of customers and employees? Got it. Want to work for a leader in selling more cars and satisfying more customers? Got it. Who has all that? SMC Sunbury Motor Company is looking for technicians across all their departments. Whether you're an entry-level technician, an experienced technician, or someone looking for a career change, Sunbury Motors would love to hear from you. They're looking for technicians for their quick lane, car and light truck service, heavy truck service, body shop, and frame and alignment division. You can apply online at sunburymotors.com, in person at our North 4th Street location, or call Todd at 570-286-7746. Your new career of working on Fords, Kias, Hyundais, Western Star trucks, plus anything that fits in the door,
and some things that don't.
Join Sunbury Motors. Your new career is waiting for you.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, motorcycle, boat, RV. They'll save you money. They'll make sure you're fully insured. They may do it with bundles. And they always give back to the community. And that's as evidenced by the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament, which will be August 9th at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club. Get your team together to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. And we will be out there for that as well. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15. Hummel's Wharf online at sunburymotors.com. Our good friend Rob Beer Temple. Good friend, great guy. One of the 20 laid off by the Athletic today. Including Rich Hoffman, the Sixers. Beat writer.
Yeah, two very talented guys. That was a tough day for them.
Bob Kravitz out in Indianapolis. I mean, a bunch of guys I know getting laid off by the Athletic. You know, it's overshadowed a bit by the layoffs happening at ESPN, with Neil Everett being the latest to reveal that he's going to be laid off. But, yeah, that's hard. And Rob is so incredibly talented. So good at his job. So good. Just one of the really good guys out there. So sorry to see that. Very sorry to see that. All right. Tonight, history will be made as Mike Breen will broadcast his 100th NBA Finals game. Mike is one of the really, truly outstanding announcers, and if you've ever had a chance to meet him, he's an even better guy. Has not had the greatest of years, although he'll tell you he's fortunate that nobody was home when the fire wrecked their house late last summer on Long Island. They were away at the time, thank goodness. But still not easy to go through that. But he is just outstanding. And my respect for him is off the charts. So he'll do some interviews. And with Denver and Miami playing one another, that meant he had to go down to South Beach. So he was asked to be on Dan Lebatard's South Beach Sessions podcast. I'm sure you heard this, Matt, right?
Unfortunately, yes.
And he was asked about sports coverage journalism has become criticism. He says, why do you have to crush people while you criticize them? And Levitard said to him, "It must be bothersome to you to watch sports coverage and what it's become." And Breen quickly said, quote, "I hate it. Journalism has become criticism, and I hate that. That people feel they have to be critical to be considered a good journalist or to be a good analyst. There's so much out there that it's difficult to put yourself in their positions. We all make mistakes. I make mistakes on the air. Players make mistakes on the court. And it's just become too critical." And it's not just having to be critical. It's the words that are used in the criticism. I've always felt I'll criticize somebody, but I'll only use words that I would say to their face. Why do we have to crush people while you criticize them? Breen asked. There's a respectful way to do it. And I think a lot of people have gotten away from that, and that bothers me. As you know, I mean, he almost took like words that I've used on the show many times. That I make mistakes, players make mistakes, coaches make mistakes. And there's a way to criticize, right, where you make your point, but you're not out there crushing people. I mean, have I ever said on a broadcast involving Penn State, look, they're really struggling today, or he's really struggling today? Yeah. But you're stating a fact, but you're also using words that are not like a sledgehammer. You make your point, you move on. Ball gets thrown over the middle. It's right there. Drops it. Should have had it. Now, do you get personal and say, oh, can't believe it, he's killing this team, blah, 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 not getting it done, No, you just say he dropped it. He should have had it. Jack will jump in. He'll say, you're right, Steve, he should have had it. It was right there. You go to the next play. I mean, I'll give you an example from a Spikes game. Steakhouse Spikes game I did the other night. A young man named Cam Buford. Good-looking prospect. Out of Grambling State, first-team all-SWAC selection. Model of consistency. He's played 3 years at Grambling. And in his freshman year, he had 12 home runs. In his sophomore year, he hit 12 home runs. And in his junior year, just completed, he hit 12 home runs. He hit 320 this year. Not a surprise, his lifetime average is 319. The guy's a model of consistency. That doesn't mean you don't have games that are tough games. He struck out 4 times on Friday night. Now, I know his family and his parents are listening to the broadcast. I know that. So, do you go out and destroy him? When he came up after striking out 3 times... Right? And the 4th time, I said, strike three, got him. I said, he hasn't put the ball in play tonight. That's all I said. He knows he struck out 4 times. The family knows he struck out 4 times. But do you have to kill him? Then he bounced back yesterday and went 3 for 4. It's baseball. And I just think that I've said many times on the show, and I'll revisit it here. Not everything in sports is Shangri-La. Obviously not. I mean, look at the Yankees. No, I'm just kidding.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
Again, Pete Alonso and Aaron Judge are out, and Giancarlo Stanton's playing. What are the odds? All right.
No, you're right about that, 100%.
What are the odds? All right, but... not everything in sports is Shangri-La. I've done a game in my career where later it was proved that point shaving took place. Right? In other words, there are 3 players that were alleged to have played the game for Northwestern that weren't trying at all. Right? Now, do you criticize that? You're darn right you do. You criticize the illegality of it. You criticize the scheme. You criticize them as individuals. Right? You criticize the mastermind. Yeah, because what they did was wrong. Right? What I don't sit there and criticize is the guy that misses the 3-foot putt on 18 to win it. I don't. You want to know how good that guy is to be in that spot? And then, whatever, either mishit it, misread it, whatever. Hey, but you know how good that guy has to be? To be in that spot? I mean, oh, he's a choker. Oh, I hate that. I hate that. Can't stand when I hear people call, he's a choker, he chokes. Really? How'd everything go over in the insurance agency today? Pretty good? Good? Great? Everything go okay with the office? No problem whatsoever. Did you choke at anything today? Oh, there's nothing before you two choke. Oh, okay. Right. You're not in that spot. He's a choker. Really? Or when you compare players. I'm going to compare LeBron James to Michael Jordan. And you're going to nitpick something. Well, he's better. Hey, guess what? I'm sitting there as a team, and I have a choice between the two. The first person that calls me and says I want to go, I take him. Guess what? I'm going to win either way. They're both great. Right? Is Damian Lillard a bad player because he's never won an NBA title? Is Charles Barkley awful because he hasn't won an NBA title? Is Joel Embiid? Well, that's a different story. Joel Embiid, sorry. Get past the second round. Just kidding. It's like comparing Joel Embiid to Nikola Jokic. The first person that calls you and says, I'm going to show up, is the person you take. They're both great. But we have to criticize somebody to... Well, I would say, because Jokic can't do this, he can't do that, but Embiid can't do this, and Embiid can't do that. I go, come on. They may go about it in slightly different ways, but they're both great players. Hey, come on. And... I realize that there's more harsh criticism in these days of wagering than ever before, because now it's become personal for some people who put $1,000 or a few thousand on a game, who put $100 on a prop bet, what, right? And it's the athlete or the team's fault that you lost money. Over here in the back, you want to know the big reason why you lost money? Is you bet it. That's why it's called gambling. Okay, the fault is actually yours, not theirs. You bet it. It's your responsibility, not theirs. I know players are making a lot of money. I got that. And I'm wondering how harsh the criticism is going to get on some fronts on the college level with those getting name, image, and likeness money. I mean, we now know what coaches make, and coaches, I'm getting for that. How much am I getting for my X amount of million of dollars? I got it. Yet, as I've said many times, you have to know where you are in the pecking order. Okay? I think I know a lot about football and basketball. I think I know a lot about it. And I can tell you directly, I do not know anywhere near as much as James Franklin and his staff, and I don't know nearly as much as Mike Rhodes and his staff. Conversely, they may think they know a lot about broadcasting, but they don't know as much as I do, because that's more my area of expertise. but they know a lot about it. But there are a few things that they don't know about it that, you know, that are part of the business that they don't know. And there's things about football I know a lot, but they know more than I do. That's why I sit there and I listen to them. All right? Pick up what they have to say, why they're saying it, how they're doing it. Players. All right? There are 8 billion people in the world. 8 billion. Okay? What do you got? 780 playing Major League Baseball? 8 billion people in the world. You got what? Let's see. 640 playing the NHL? $510 playing in the NBA. And you got about 1,600 plus playing in the NFL out of 8 billion. Golf, guy that missed the 3-foot putt. There's 160 players in the world that have their tour card out of 8 billion. The guy that missed the 3-foot putt is one of them. But he's a choker. It's the words you use. And you look at the Penn State beat writers, for example. I have such great respect for them. And I was just with them on Thursday. Most of them kept looking over their shoulders. I'm like, you okay? What's wrong? And they said, the suit guy's not here, is he? And I said, no. Seemed to kind of calm the room.
S-U-I-T, that spells suit.
So... But, you know, you look at, you know, I was, you know, Rich Scarsella, Mark Wogenrich, you know, I mean, he started naming, like, rattling off names. Nate Bauer, Sean Fitz, Thomas Frank Carr, you know, Audrey Snyder. I'm trying to think of different people I saw. Ryan Snyder, you know, Donnie wasn't there Thursday morning, but I saw Donnie Thursday night, Donnie Collins up in Scranton. Yeah, and I can go through the list because I've left out a lot of people. You know, Mike Gross. You know, I mean, I've left out a lot of people that are on this long list of people I respect because they just cover the game. They do a great job, and they write what they see. And when it comes time to criticize, they have a way of going about it where they criticize with class. Okay. And, you know, I respect that. And I think Mike Breen's right. I mean, especially when you get into the shouting shows. Stephen A. Smith versus J.J. Redick and Christopher Russo. Shannon Sharp and Skip Bayless. Well, they're all just yelling at each other. Trying to get the one-upmanship and the last word in. Things like that. It's like, I mean, I can't watch that stuff. I can't watch it. It's to me, it may be watchable to you, and if it's entertaining to you, that's fine. You can watch whatever you want. It's not entertaining to me. I want to watch something that when it's done, I feel like I learned something from it. I mean, listen to how Dick Girardi and Jack Ham analyze a game. Listen how they do it. They both do it in such a way where you learn more about the game when it's over with, and they didn't take a baseball bat to anybody. I hear nothing but silence on your end. Nothing.
No, you're right. Crickets. First take, crickets. Undisputed, I'm out.
Crickets. 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 Yeah. Crickets. But Michael broadcasts his 100th NBA Finals game tonight, and he is one of the best in the business. And I think he's got a point about that. And look, it's not all kumbaya out there, okay? We all know that. It's not all kumbaya, okay? It's not. And there are certain things along the way you have to be critical of.
But when you're just doing a game, right, and you're broadcasting a game, you sit there and you understand, you know, the effort that goes into getting to the game and the effort it takes to play the game, and not everything's going to be perfect. You'll overthrow a ball. You'll drop a ball. You'll miss the shot from the corner. You'll miss the three, whatever. Right? We always concentrate on the end. They blew it. Oh, yeah. What about the other 40 minutes? What about the other 60 minutes? Was there four or five plays that happened in the first half that maybe caused it to come down to one play? I've done a lot of games in my lifetime. I know what now the full, when you've done as many as I have, the full context of the entire 60 minutes, the full context of the nine innings, the full context of 40 minutes. I mean, I'm doing a game yesterday, for example, because the manager at just the right time, Dave Tremblay, sent a runner from first. They stayed out of a double play, right? I mean, he unexpectedly sent him. Sent a runner, first and third, right? One out. Sent the runner, stayed out of the double play, ended up being a three-run inning. Okay. Now, the big hit of the inning was a triple, and it was a big deal, okay. But that gate, but this play in the context of the game was a huge play. You have to be able to recognize that stuff. That's your job. And it's just, hey. Everybody knows I'm not ultra critical to begin with. That's just not my nature. But look, I'll say straight out, he's struggling or they're struggling. Okay, do I have to say they're awful, terrible, disgusting, stupid, anything like that? Look, guy's 0 for 5 in the field. He's struggling today. How much more do you need to say? Is there something else you need to say to convey to the entire world? I mean, do you have to register disgust? Maybe it sounds like it's an obvious thing to say, but it's factual. He's struggling. Okay. The difference is when the people who are ultra critical struggle, nobody knows it. Because nobody really cares. They have no money on your struggling. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, your home for the Macatrillo Rants.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.